بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. أيها الأخوة في الله، أيها الأخوة المحبون، موضوعنا اليوم، موضوع الدرس أو المحاضرة، عن فرقة تنتسب إلى الإسلام، وهي ابتلاء من الله سبحانه وتعالى وبلاء على أهل الإسلام. وهذه سنة الله في خلقه، حيث جعل هذه الدار، دار الدنيا، دار الفتن والابتلاء والاختبار واختلاط الخير بالشر، خلافا للدار الآخرة التي هي دار الحق، لا يخالط الحق فيها باطل ولا شر. فهؤلاء الشيعة الاثنى عشرية، لا أدري من أين أبدأ الكلام في هذه الفرقة. ونبدأ بتعريف الشيعة ونشأتها. فعندما قتل عثمان رضي الله عنه على يد بعض الخوارج، لأن كل من خرج على الإمام الحق المطاع فهو من الخوارج، فلا شك أن علي رضي الله عنه كان هو أفضل الناس بعد عثمان، وهو الأولى بالخلافة. فبويع رضي الله عنه بالخلافة، وحصلت بعض الفتنة بسبب الاختلاف في مصير الذين قتلوا الخليفة عثمان رضي الله عنه. وعلي رضي الله عنه لأول مرة كخليفة يغادر المدينة إلى العراق، إلى الكوفة، لوجود بعض أنصاره هناك. ولا يخفاكم ما حصل من الفتنة بين الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم، علي ومن معه، ويقال كان معه 800 من الصحابة الذين حضروا بيعة الرضوان، وطلحة والزبير وعائشة رضي الله عنه، ومعهم بعض الصحابة، وكانوا مجتهدين رضي الله عنهم، كل واحد له وجهة نظر يدافع عنها. فكان طلحة والزبير وعائشة يطالبون بدم عثمان، ويطلبون من الخليفة علي رضي الله عنه تنفيذ حكم الله في قتلة عثمان. وعلي رضي الله عنه يعني له وجهة نظر أنه لابد أولا أن تدين جميع البلاد لخلافة علي رضي الله عنه، ويستتب الأمن والأمر، وبعد ذلك ينفذ فيهم حكم الله. وهؤلاء القتلة الذين قتلوا عثمان كانوا يتآمرون، فصار هناك حوار بين الطرفين، علي من جهة وطلحة والزبير من جهة وعائشة رضي الله عنهم أجمعين، وكادوا أن يصطلحوا ويتفقوا وينتهي الخلاف، ولكن قتلة عثمان والمنافقين خافوا من مصيرهم أن باتفاق الصحابة هلاكهم. ففي الليل الظلام الدامس تحرشوا وبدأوا بالقتال، يعني رموا سهم من هنا وسهم من هنا، رموا سهما من هنا وسهما من هنا، فكل واحد ظن أن صاحبه نكس الاتفاق، وحينئذ بدأ القتال ووقعت معركة الجمل المعروفة في التاريخ. تفضل يا أخي.
الله يزيد فضلك من شيخنا. The Sheikh Jazahullah Khairan Kathiran, he began by stating, indeed, all praises to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we ask His forgiveness, and we seek the refuge of Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evils of our deeds. He whom Allah guides, none can misguide, and He whom Allah misguides, none can guide. And I bear witness that there's no deity worthy of worship besides Allah alone without any partners, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is His slave and His final messenger. May the exaltations of Allah be upon Him and His family as it was upon Ibrahim and His family. My dear and loving brothers, today the topic at hand is the discussion revolving around a particular sect that has affiliated itself to Islam. And that particular sect, being the Shia, has truly been a tribulation and a test from Allah Azza wa Jal upon this ummah. This has been a calamity that befell this ummah. And surely this is the habit of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that He tests His slaves. For surely this life, the dunya life that we live today, is a life of fitan, tests, calamities, tribulations, and assessing the mettle of Allah's slaves. It is a home and an abode in which both evil and goodness mingle, which is contrary to the afterlife, which is the life of the truth. Exclusively the truth, nothing but the truth. Evil does not mix with the good in that life. So these people, the Shia, I do not know where to begin regarding their affair today. So let us begin by firstly giving a background introduction. Starting from the killing of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu upon the hands of the sect known as the Khawarij. And surely it is established that everyone who goes against a rightfully guided imam who is already being obeyed by the people and the people have already fallen in line with him is considered, going against him in any fashion is considered khuruj. And thus we say that these killers of Uthman are khawarij. And without doubt, the man after Uthman that was considered the best amongst the Muslimin and the most worthy and had the most right to being chosen to be the Khalifa after him was Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And so when Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was chosen and made the Khalifa of the Muslimin, a fitna began amongst the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum regarding the affair of how to deal with the killing of Uthman. The difference was that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to gather the affair of the Ummah first and to ensure that all the different provinces had fallen in line and accepted his pledge of allegiance and that all the affairs were under control before he took any action regarding the killers of Uthman. The other party from the Sahaba, which was headed by Talha and Az-Zubayr and Aisha radiallahu anhum ajma'een, had insisted that something be done about the blood of Uthman and that vengeance must be sought immediately. And so Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he headed towards Al-Kufa, which at that time had a number of his allies, and he was the first of the Khalifas to leave Medina. And on his side were about 800 from the most virtuous of the Sahaba, those who attended the pledge of Ar-Ridwan. This is a very lofty status for these 800 of the Sahaba that were on his side. And of course, Talha and Zubair, they had others from the Sahaba on their side as well. However, after some passage of time, it seemed that both parties were going to come to agreement and were going to come to a truce and that a solution was found for the differences between the two parties. And so the killers of Uthman, aided by the hypocrites, devised a plan because they feared that if the two parties come to an agreement and the enmities between them end, then surely this will result in the annihilation of both the hypocrites and the killers of Uthman. So they devised a plan to ensure that a war must begin. And so one night before the truce was reached, they by night attacked both parties creating the illusion that each party had begun attacking the other, and thus the war started. And and thus began the great fitna between the Muslimin. تفضل شيخ.
بارك الله فيك.
أحسن الله إليك.
أقول يعني هنا يعني الذين أيدوا علي رضي الله عنه يعتبرون مناصرين مشايعين له، ولكن من باب أنه يعني صاحب الحق في الخلافة ووجوب الطاعة له، فهؤلاء كانوا أنصارا لعلي رضي الله عنه، ولكن بإخلاص وبعيدا عما حصل فيما بعد من الغلو فيه الذي بدأ على يد عبد الله بن سبأ، الذي لا يستطيع أحد أن ينكر إفساده في دين الإسلام، فإنه فكر وقدر ثم نظر ثم فكر وقدر ثم عبس وبتر بأن الإسلام والمسلمين والصحابة لا يمكن مواجهتهم بالسيف وبالحروب، فعمل على إفساد دين الإسلام من داخله، فادعى دخوله في الإسلام، كما أفسد بولس دين أتباع المسيح عليه السلام، ونقل دين المسيحيين أتباع المسيح من التوحيد إلى الوثنية وعبادة المسيح، فأراد هذا الخبيث عبد الله بن سبأ أن ينقل من استطاع من المسلمين من التوحيد إلى الشرك وعبادة علي رضي الله عنه. فنشأ الغلو في أهل البيت بداية من عبد الله بن سبأ الذي اصطحب أفكاره اليهودية، وكان يؤمن بأن يوشع وصي موسى، فنقل ذلك إلى دين الإسلام، وادعى أن عليا هو وصي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو أولى بالخلافة، وأن أبا بكر وعمر وعثمان مغتصبون للخلافة من أهل البيت ومن علي بالذات. ولم يكتفي بذلك، بل ادعى ألوهية علي رضي الله عنه، وتبعه أناس من المجانين على ذلك، وهذا شيء ثابت في التاريخ. فقالوا إن عليا هو الله، حل فيه الله سبحانه وتعالى، فقام علي رضي الله عنه بزجرهم فلم يزدجروا، فهددهم بقتلهم فلم يزدجروا، فعمل لهم أخدودا وملأه نارا، وهددهم بأنه سيرميهم في هذه النار إن لم يرجعوا عن تأليه علي عن تأليه، فزادوا فتنة وقالوا أنت هو ولا يحرق بالنار إلا الله إلا هو، وفعلا أحرق بعضهم، وقال متمثلا لما رأيت الأمر أمرا منكرا أججت ناري ودعوت قنبرا، وقنبرا كان مولا لعلي رضي الله عنه وخادما له، فأحرق بعضهم. أما عبد الله بن سبأ فقد نفاه إلى المدائن قطعا لدابره ولفتنته، ولكنه استطاع أن يزرع الفتنة، واستمرت الفتنة في أهل البيت إلى يومنا هذا. تفضل.
الله يزيد فضلكم. شيخنا ذكرتم أن قنبرا كان من
كان مولا لعلي.
أي نعم، مولا
خادما
أيوة. الله يبارك فيكم شيخنا. الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He continued explaining that although those who stood on the side of Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه from the companions were to be considered his Shia, linguistically speaking, meaning that they were on his side, that they were his aides and his allies, they, however, were upon truthfulness and rightness. For surely, he being one who has a right to be obeyed, being the Khalifa, being the leader of the Muslim empire and society, then surely being obedient to him is an obligatory duty in the deen of Islam. Thus, although they were his allies and they aided him and supported him, this was done without any extremism, without any amount of going outside of the legislated boundaries, contrary to the extremism begun regarding Ali by the man known as Abdullah ibn Saba. Because surely this man has ruined in the deen of Islam that which will not be debated by anyone. For surely he has devised and plotted, and then devised and plotted, and he frowned and thought hard until he came to the conclusion that surely Islam cannot be met with sheer power. The Sahaba cannot be beaten with swords, and the Islamic empire will not be brought down through war, but rather he must attack this deen from within. So he came to knock the deen of Islam from within using similar ploys to those used by Paul as he attacked the monotheism and the tawheed found in the deen of Isa ibn Maryam alayhim as-salam. Just as Paul was the cause for the bringing of paganism into Christianity after it was a deen of tawheed, Abdullah ibn Saba brought upon these people the shirk, the association of other partners with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, after they were upon the tawheed. And as you know, Abdullah ibn Saba had was reared upon and grew upon Jewish thoughts, and he came with these thoughts into Islam and used some of them to attempt to attack it and ruin it from within, such as his belief that Yusha', who was the servant or the supporter of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, was his wasi, meaning he was the one that was entrusted to the deen of Musa after him. So he believed, or he began spreading the false belief, that Ali was the wasi of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning he was the one entrusted to the deen of Islam after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And based upon this, he began spreading that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had more right to be the Khalifa than Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman, and that they unrightfully usurped his right and beat him to being the Khalifa through sheer force, and they became the Khalifa, the leader of the Muslim society, unrightfully. And so he then went one step further and began claiming that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a deity, that God Azza wa Jal, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has landed within and became embodied in Ali radiallahu ta'ala an Ali wa subhanallahi rabbil alameen, exalted be Allah above the falsehood that he claimed. And so when Ali heard of this affair, he chastised them and he warned them and he admonished them to turn back from the shirk and come to Islam, and he even threatened them that they will be killed unless they revert back to Islam from this heinous affair. And unfortunately, the followers of Abdullah ibn Saba had reached some level of lunacy, and no longer were people with comprehension. So despite Ali commanding them to come back to Islam and stop deifying him, they refused. And so Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, And he built a valley and he filled it with fire, and he threatened them, I will throw you into this fire. And he said these words that we just recited: when I saw the affair, a heinous affair, I lit my fire, I made it blazing, and I called on Qumbur. And Qumbur was one of his allies, supporters, one of his servants. And so he ended up burning some of them in this fire that he lit, due to the fact that they refused to come back to Islam and insisted on worshipping him as God subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for the man named Abdullah ibn Saba, he had him extracted and kicked out to Al-Mada'in to attempt to stop and circumvent his fitna from growing. Tafadhal Shaykhan.
أيها الأخوة، الموضوع متشعب ويعني يحتاج إلى أوقات يعني طويلة، لأن الشيعة لهم جانب عقائدي ولهم جانب تاريخي ولهم جانب سياسي، وأنا أريد أن أركز على الجانب التاريخي وخطر هذه الطائفة على الإسلام السنة يعني بصفة خاصة. أقول بعد علي رضي الله عنه وجد من الشيعة من يعني لم يتوغل، وإنما فقط كانوا يفضلون علي رضي الله عنه على أبي بكر وعمر، يفضلون عليا على أبي بكر وعمر ويسمون الشيعة التفضيلية، ولكنهم لا يسبون أبو بكر ولا عمر ولا يلغون خلافتهم ولا عثمان، ويقدرونهم ويحترمون ويترضون عنهم. وهؤلاء وجد منهم أفاضل، حتى بعض من ينتسب إلى الحديث يعني والمحدثين تأثر بهم كعبد الرزاق الصنعاني، كان عنده نوع من التشيع، وغيره أفراد قليلين لكن كانوا فضلاء وكانوا أهل عقيدة صحيحة. أي نعم، مسألة هذه لا تضر يعني، وإن كان الحق أن ترتيب الخلفاء هو على حسب ترتيبهم في الخلافة، أولا أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم علي الأدلة نعم المستفيضة في هذا، ولكن البلاء كل البلاء الذين جاءوا بالولاء والبراء والتبري أي نعم من أبي بكر ومن عمر نعم، وأنه لا ولاء لعلي وأهل بيته إلا بالبراء من أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان، وأن من تولى أبا بكر وعمر وعثمان فإنه ضال مضل أو حتى كافر. فهؤلاء التفضيليين لا شك أنهم يعني باقون مع أهل السنة ومحدثين، وهم أفراد قليلون يعني، سبحان الله أراد الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يحصل عندهم هذا، هذه المخالفة البسيطة فقط، مجرد تفضيل يسمونهم الشيعة التفضيلية. المهم، مع تطورات التاريخ الآن أقول لكم استقر الآن الشيعة على الإمامية الاثنى عشرية وأيضا الزيدية، وأيضا الزيدية مع الفرق الكبير بين الطائفتين. فالإمامية الاثنى عشرية ضلالها يعني كبير جدا، ضلالها كبير، ضلالها واغل في الشرك وواغل في الكيد للإسلام، لأن تدخلت في المسألة العنصرية الفارسية، وسأحدثكم. نعم،
الله يحفظكم شيخ. الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He continued saying, the affair of the Shia, and to speak about them is surely an issue with multiple forks and multiple directions, such that we can speak about the creed dynamics and the historical background and the political dimensions of this topic. However, I do not want to focus except on two issues today. I want to talk about the historical aspect and also upon the danger that they represent today to Islam, especially to the people of the Sunnah. After the time of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, surely there were from amongst the Shia those who were of the position that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was simply better than Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. However, this did not lead them to the extremism found in the later Shia. They were not upon the position that Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum and Uthman were evil men, but rather they believed in their virtue, they loved them for the sake of Allah, and they even prayed for them and asked Allah Azza wa Jal to elevate them and so on and so forth. However, they believed that Ali was the best from amongst the companions versus the correct understanding. The correct understanding is that the best of the Sahaba is Abu Bakr, followed by Umar, followed by Uthman, exactly in the order that they were made to be the Khalifas in the Islamic rule. And from the examples, from the types of these men who had this creed, that they loved the companions of the Messenger ﷺ, and they prayed for Abu Bakr and Umar, and they held them in great regard. However, they preferred Ali, were men like Abdul Razzaq al-San'ani al-Muhaddith, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the great scholars of Hadith. However, he had this mistake, and others. Also from men of great virtue who had this one mistake in the issues. However, they had the correct creed, they were upon the Tawheed, etc. And the evidence is abundant that this is a mistake that they had made, and surely the virtue of the Sahaba is as established in the order in which they received the leadership in Islam, that being Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman, and then finally Ali. So this is one mistake that this group of Shia had, and they were called a Shia al-Tafdiliyyah, the Shia who preferred Ali. But today, the Shaykh explains, the matter has changed. Because surely the greatest of calamities regarding this affair is the calamity of building allegiance and hatred and enmity based upon where you position Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma wa an Uthman. Because their position, this extremist group from amongst the Shia, is that you must hate Umar and Uthman and Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and you must declare your enmity and that they are enemies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you don't do this, whoever believes that these are men of virtue, then surely this is a man who was misguided, and a misguider, a caller to deviance. Perhaps some of them will even go so far as to say he's a kafir, a disbeliever, one who believes in the virtue of Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman. And as for these people who we alluded to previously, those who preferred Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu without hating the other ones, without believing that the other ones were misguiders and men of deviance, then this is a small group and they are now pretty much gone. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had wanted to test them with this one mistake. Today the affair has settled upon the fact that there's two groups of Shia. Al-Ithni Ashriya, the 12ers, the sect of the 12 Imams, and Al-Zaydiya. And between these two are vast differences in understanding and creed. However, the 12ers, the Imamite Shia, they are in misguidance of the greatest magnitude. In fact, their creed is deeply rooted in matters of shirk, polytheism, paganism, and the worship of Allah, of other than Allah. And surely, it has entered upon them today even the affair of racism, where they believe in the virtue of the Persian lineage. Fadl Shaykhana.
جزاك الله خيرا.
إياكم.
أقول يعني عندما دخلت العنصرية الفارسية في هذا الموضوع، موضوع التشيع، حصل البلاء العظيم. تعلمون أيها الإخوة الكرام أن الفاروق عمر رضي الله عنه الذي كان يهرب الشيطان منه إذا رآه، ولا يسلك واديا إلا سلك الشيطان فجا، لا يسلك عمر فجا إلا سلك الشيطان فجا آخر. هذا الرجل الذي هو بعد الخليفة أبي بكر في فضله على الأمة جميعا، ذلك الرجل أبو المساكين، ذلك الرجل الذي هو يعني أروع مثل للعدل في الإسلام وفي البشرية، ذلك الرجل أبو المساكين المتواضع الذي سبب يعني له العداوة من الفرس كونه فتح بلاد الفرس، وكونه قضى على الدولة الساسانية الكسروية الفارسية، فقد قضى عليها تماما وحطمها تحطيما ولم يبق لها أثرا، وأصبحت بلاد إيران بلادا مسلمة، وحتى كانت سنية. ولا شك أن بعض الفرس يعني دخلوا نفاقا في الإسلام وهم يضمرون الحقد على الإسلام لأنه أزال دولتهم التي يفتخرون بها. وكان من أوائل تخطيطهم قتل عمر رضي الله عنه من قبل المجوس، فقتله أبو لؤلؤ المجوسي بتآمر مع بعض المجوس الذين كانوا في المدينة أفراد، وبتآمر مع المجوس بصفة عامة، وظنوا أنهم بقتل عمر رضي الله عنه يقضون على دولة الإسلام. ولكن يأبى الله إلا أن يتم نوره وينصر دينه ولو كره المجوس والمشركون. وجد المجوس أنهم لا قدرة لهم في مواجهة المد الإسلامي والتيار الإسلامي القوي الذي قام على الجهاد وشراء الجنة بالأنفس، ويأسوا من مواجهة المسلمين وجها لوجه، فعمدوا إلى المكر والخداع وتذرعوا بحب أهل البيت. نعم تفضل.
جزاك الله فضلكم الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He explained saying when racism entered upon them, the issue of the preferring of Ali and declaring allegiance to him became a great tribulation. Surely, as you know, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was called al-Faruq, the man who separated the truth from the falsehood. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the shaytan used to flee if he saw him coming. If the shaytan saw him coming down one valley, the shaytan would take another valley completely. This man, who his virtue upon the Ummah of Islam is only second amongst the Sahaba to the virtue and the blessing and beneficence of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the man who used to be called the father of the poor and the needy, the father of the poor and the needy, in reference to his kindness and his generosity to those in need. This man who has reached the level where he has become a role model for humanity in its entirety in the level of justice he exemplified during his tenure as the Khalifa. This man, as you know, he was the one that brought down the empire of the Persians to its knees. He is the man that led the Muslim charge upon that empire until they completely annihilated and broke down the Persian Empire, which was at one point in time one of the greatest empires in the history. And so even countries such as Iran, the place known as Iran today, had become Muslim and become upon the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So without doubt, this charge that was led by Umar and this conquest that was led by Umar and the defeat of their empire and their coming down from the height that they had reached amongst the nations into becoming a subjugated and submitting nation that is under the rule of the Muslims surely caused some of the Persians to hide their enmity to Islam and keep their chagrin within their hearts, although they accepted Islam outwardly in hypocrisy, simply to avoid being killed. But the hate for the Islam and the Muslims remained in their hearts, although their outward appearance was Islam. And so, knowing that there is no way to defeat the Muslims face to face, there's no way to defeat the Muslims in outward clear war, they decided to plot from within. And so Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was assassinated, was killed by Abu Lu'lu'a al-Majusi. Abu Lu'lu'a the Magian, the Zoroastrian. He's basically upon the religion of the Persians at that time. And so Abu Lu'lu'a, along with some of the people of the Persians, plotted together until they figured out how to kill Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, thinking that this would bring down the strength of Islam or cause its demise. However, Allah Azza wa Jal had a plan, and surely the light of Allah cannot be stopped from spreading, and Allah refuses except to have his deen emerge victorious. And so, despite their attempt, Allah Azza wa Jal failed them in bringing Islam down, although they resorted to plotting and scheming and so on and so forth. Tafadhal Shaykh.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. نعم أيها الإخوة، من العجائب أن إيران كانت تسمى بلاد ما وراء النهر، كانت سنية، وظهر منها رجال خدموا الإسلام، ظهر منها المحدثون أكثر أصحاب السنن من بلاد ما وراء النهر، الترمذي، النسائي، ابن ماجه القزويني ونحو ذلك، أي نعم، مسلم، النيسابوري، كل هؤلاء كانوا من جهة بلاد إيران. وكانت إيران كما قلت لكم بلدا سنيا حتى جاء الصفويون، دولة الصفوية، أي نعم، فكانت دولة رافضية، وحولت إيران، بلد إيران خراسان ما وراء النهر، إلى بلد شيعي رافضي، حيث أعملوا السيف والقتل في من لم يقبل دين الشيعة، من تشيع بالرضا أو بالإكراه، ومن لم يرضى يقتلونه قتلا، حتى حولوا هذه البلاد إلى بلاد رافضية. والمسمى الصحيح لهؤلاء هو الرافضة وليس الشيعة. لماذا ومن أين أتى اسم الرافضة؟ جاء على القول الصحيح أن زيد بن علي بن الحسين بن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه ورحمة الله على هؤلاء المذكورين، زيد بن علي قام يطالب بالخلافة، وجاء بعض الشيعة أين يريدون أن يناصروه، فسألوه ما قولك في أبي بكر وعمر، فقال هما وزيرا جدي وترضى عنهما، فرفضوه ورفضوا أن يتبعوه ويناصروه، فقال أنتم الرافضة، ومن هنا سموا الرافضة، لأنهم يرفضون أبا بكر وعمر ويكفرونهما ويلعنونهما. هذا هو الاسم اللائق بهؤلاء الطائفة وليس الشيعة الآن، لأن الشيعة شرف لا ينالونه، كان هناك شيعة يناصرون عليا وهم على الحق وعلى الدين. كان هناك يعني سبي يأتي من جهة بلاد فارس، وكان الخليفة عمر رضي الله عنه يوزعه، فحصل لا إله إلا الله السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام.
نعم أنتم معي؟
أي شيخنا تفضلوا.
أي نعم. كان السبي يأتي من بلاد فارس على أثر المعارك. إثر المعارك التي مثل معركة نهاوند والقادسية ونحوها، فالحسين بن علي رضي الله عنه تزوج بنت يزدجرج الذي كان إمبراطور فارس، فولدت له علي بن الحسين، فعلي بن الحسين هذا أصبح أجداده من جهة الأم فارس، وهذا مما زادهم غلوا في أهل البيت، وأرادوا أن يمكروا بالإسلام، أي نعم، من هذا الباب، من باب تعظيم أهل البيت. المهم أنهم جعلوا الإمامة ركنا من الدين، وأن عليا هو أولى بالإمامة من أبي بكر وعمر، وأن الإمامة بعده في ذريته 12 رجلا من أهل بيته، زعموا لهم أنهم أئمة المسلمين وأنهم معصومون، وغلوا فيهم، وكل ذلك تخطيطا لهدم دين الإسلام.
Sheikh Jazahullah Khairan. He said, and from the wondrous affairs that history tells us about regarding the current day Iran, which back in the times used to be called the lands that are beyond the river, the lands beyond the river. Surely from those lands, many of the greatest men who served Islam in the greatest of fashions have emerged. Indeed, some of the most major scholars of hadith ever seen to this ummah came from those lands. In fact, the majority of the scholars who wrote the Sunan are from those lands, such as an Imam At-Tirmidhi, an Imam An-Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, and others like them. Even an Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi ala al-jami', are from those areas. And so Iran was a Sunni province, a province of Islam, of the Islamic Empire, that was upon the Sunnah until the Safawiyun came about. When the Safawi rule came about, the Safawis were, of course, Rafida, Shia Rafida, and they forced everyone to come upon their creed, whether you like it or not. And those who refused to come upon their creed, they took their blood as halal, and so they massacred anyone who refused to accept the creed of the Shia and joined them upon the Rafid. Why do we use the word Rafida versus the word Shia? Which is the word that is more in line with the correct meaning and the correct understanding that they were upon? Shia, linguistically speaking, means allies. Rafida means rejectors. Which one is more rightfully used? The correct opinion is that which has been narrated on behalf of Zayd, the son of Ali ibn Hussein ibn Ali, rahmatullahi ala al-jami' wa radiyallahu an Ali. He said that, or rather it is narrated, when he sought the Khilafah in his time, when he sought to become the Khalifa in Islam, and he sought allies, and he wanted aides and supporters to stand on his side as he begins to claim and seek to become the leader of the Islamic Ummah. Some of the Rafida, some of the Shia, came to him to give him their pledge of allegiance and to stand by his side and help him in this conquest. So one of the questions they asked him, what is your position regarding Abu Bakr and Umar? And a man of his lineage, being the great grandson of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and thus he is from the lineage of Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of Ali, and she is the daughter of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, surely they are the companions, they are the ministers, they are the two right-hand men of my grandfather, referring back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What do you think my position regarding them would be if they are the two right-hand men of my great-grandfather, meaning the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So at that junction, when they realized that he has nothing but good to say about Abu Bakr and Umar, they rejected him. And so he called them, instead of the Shia, instead of the allies, he called them the rejectors. They rejected him and did not support him. And this is the reason that we hold this name to be more rightful to be applied to them than the name Shia. For surely they did not ally, did not give their allegiance, were not allies, did not support the people of the household of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in any legislated manner. For surely there were men who were truly supporters of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and others from the household of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam according to the truth. They supported them in the legislated manner and stood by their side when the right was with them, and so on and so forth. These are true supporters in the deen of Allah, not these men. And as you know, in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, some of the slaves that were being brought after the battles, such as the battle of Nahawind, Al-Qadisiyya, and other battles, some of the slaves that we brought would be distributed amongst the Muslimin. As a result of this, Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhuma ended up marrying one of these women that was brought after these battles and wars, and this woman was actually the daughter of Yazdajird, who was the king of some of the lands of Persia. And so she gave birth to Ali ibn al-Husayn radiyallahu anhuma. And so Ali ibn al-Husayn, from the lineage of his mother, is actually Persian, and the lineage of his father is going back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to Quraysh. And so this caused the Persians to feel the pride in that the people of the household of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning the lineage of Al-Husayn ibn Ali from the side of Ali ibn Al-Husayn, became mingled in lineage, in blood, with the Persians. And so this caused them to become even more extreme in the affair of deifying and glorifying the people of the household of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so they made this into one of the foundational principles of their deen, which is to prefer Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu over Abu Bakr and Umar. And this is the affair that they build their deen upon. And then they devised another creed that there will be 12 imams, 12 leaders of the Muslim empire that will come from his progeny, from the people of the household of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And they claim that these 12 men will be infallible, sinless, and they deify these men. تفضلوا شيخ.
أيها الأخوة، هنا سؤال: من هم الأئمة الاثنى عشر عند الرافضة المعصومون المعبودون من دون الله؟ لابد من ذكرهم. أولهم الخليفة علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه، أبو الحسن، ويلقبونه بالمرتضى. ثانيا ابنه الحسن رضي الله عنه المتوفى سنة 50 من الهجرة، ويلقبونه بالزكي. ثالثا ابن علي الحسين، يكنونه أبي عبد الله ويلقبونه بالشهيد، وهو قتل سنة 61 هجرية. رابعا علي بن الحسين ابن علي الذي أمه فارسية، ويلقبونه زين العابدين أو يلقب زين العابدين. والخامس محمد ابن علي ابن الحسين ولقبه الباقر، وقد مات سنة 114 من الهجرة. والسادس جعفر بن محمد بن علي، جعفر بن محمد بن علي وهو الصادق، المتوفى سنة 148 من الهجرة. والسابع موسى ابن جعفر ابن محمد، ويلقب بالكاظم، ومتوفى سنة 183 من الهجرة. الثامن علي ابن موسى ابن جعفر.
أحسن الله إليكم شيخنا. الكاظم سنة الوفاة كم؟
183. الثامن علي بن موسى بن جعفر ويلقب بالرضا، متوفى سنة 203 من الهجرة. التاسع محمد بن علي بن موسى ويلقب بالجواد أو الجواد، متوفى سنة 220. العاشر علي بن محمد بن علي ويكنى بالهادي، متوفى سنة 254 من الهجرة. الحادي عشر الحسن ابن علي ابن محمد ويكنى بالعسكري، متوفى سنة 260 من الهجرة. والإمام الأخير اللي هو لا يزال عنده في عقيدتهم حيا منذ أكثر من 1200 سنة، واسمه محمد بن الحسن بن علي العسكري، ويزعمون أنه هو إمام الزمان، وينتظرون خروجه أي نعم من السرداب منذ أكثر من 1200 سنة، وقد ولد سنة 255 كما يزعمون. ولكن يعني ثبت تاريخيا أن من يقول أنه أباه الحسن لم يعني ينجب أولادا، هذا هو الصحيح، وأن محمد هذا مزعوم. فهؤلاء هم الأئمة الاثنى عشر المعصومون عند الشيعة عند الرافضة المعبودون من دون الله، باختصار بالله باختصار.
حاضر شيخنا. The Sheikh Jazahullah Khairan, he said, so the question now, my brothers, is who are these infallible and deified imams and leaders of the Shia that are being worshipped besides Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The first of which is Al-Khalifa Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu from the companions, and they call him Al-Murtada. The second is his son Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu, who died in the year 50 to the Hijrah, and they call him Al-Zaki. And the third is Al-Husayn, also the son of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who the kunya of which is Abu Abdullah. He died in the year 61 to the Hijrah. They call him Al-Shaheed, the martyr. And the fourth is his son, which is Ali ibn al-Husayn. They call him Zainul Abidin, and we mentioned that his mother was Persian. And then the fifth is Muhammad, the son of Ali ibn al-Husayn, and they call him Al-Baqir. He died in the year 114 to the Hijrah. The sixth of which is Ja'far, the son of Muhammad, the son of Ali. They call him As-Sadiq. He died to the year 148 to the Hijrah. The seventh is Musa, the son of Ja'far, who they called Al-Kazim, and he died in the year 183 after the Hijrah. The eighth is his son Ali, the son of Musa, the son of Ja'far. They called him Al-Rida, and he died to the year 203 to the Hijrah. And then the ninth is his son Muhammad. They called him Al-Jawad. He died in the year 220 to the Hijrah. The tenth is his son Ali, and he died in the year 254 to the Hijrah. The 11th is his son Al-Hasan, who died in the year 260 to the Hijrah, and they called him Al-Askari. The previous one was called Al-Hadi. This one they call him Al-Askari. The 12th is the Imam that they claim has been alive for longer than 1200 years, who is the son of the previous Imam. His name is Muhammad, the son of Al-Hasan, the son of Ali, the son of Ali. They call him Imam al-Zaman, the Imam of all times. And they await his emergence after he has gone into hiding or so. They await his emergence more than 1200 years. They have been waiting where he will come and he will rule the earth. However, historically speaking, they believe that he is born in the year 255. But historically speaking, it has been narrated that his father, which is Al-Hasan, never bore any children. So this man is simply a fabrication, an individual who was never born.
نعم نعم أيها الأخوة إذا نظرنا إلى عقائد الشيعة التي كفرهم بها العلماء فهي كل واحدة أفظع من الأخرى. إن نظرنا إلى تأليههم لأهل البيت ولعلي واستغاثتهم بهم ودعائهم لهم والغلو فيهم واختلاق الأكاذيب أي نعم في يعني كراماتهم أو يعني ولايتهم، وإن نظرنا إلى العقيدة الأخرى الأخطر وهي القول بأن هذا القرآن ناقص أي نعم، وحذفت منه آيات حذفها الصحابة عندما جمعوا القرآن، وأن القرآن الحقيقي هو عند أهل البيت ومصحف فاطمة، وأنه لا يظهر هذا القرآن إلا مع المهدي، وأن قرآننا لا يأتي ولا حتى ثلث القرآن الحقيقي الذي هو عند أهل البيت. ولا شك أن هذا كفر، وقد أجمع المسلمون على أن من زعم أن القرآن فيه نقص أو زيادة فقد كفر، ولو قال حتى بزيادة كلمة واحدة فقد كفر. ومن الذين ألفوا من الشيعة في تحريف القرآن الطبرسي الذي ألف المتوفى سنة 1320 هجرية، الذي ألف كتابا سماه فصل الخطاب في إثبات تحريف كتاب رب الأرباب، وأصبح هذا الكتاب يدمغ الشيعة بتحريف بقولهم بنقص القرآن وتحريفه. أمثلة على ما يزعمون أنه تحريف ونقص في القرآن، في قوله تعالى لكن الله يشهد بما أنزل إليك، قالوا حذف هنا في علي، كلمة في علي كلمتين، في علي محذوفة. أنزله بعلمه والملائكة يشهدون. آية أخرى، يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك. هنا يزعمون أن فيه حذف، وهو يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك في علي، وإن لم تفعل فما بلغت رسالته. آية أخرى، إن الذين كفروا وظلموا لم يكن الله ليغفر لهم. قالوا حذف منها، وهي أصلها إن الذين كفروا وظلموا آل محمد حقهم لم يكن الله ليغفر لهم. وهكذا وهكذا، يعني يزعمون أن في القرآن حذفا ونقصا، وهذا من الكفر الذي لا يختلف فيه اثنان من علماء أهل السنة. تفضل.
الله يزيد فضلكم الشيخ، جزاه الله خيرا. He said, and if we take a look into their creeds that the scholars have deemed them disbelievers due to, you will see that each one of their items of creed is more severe and heinous than the next. For example, the affair of deifying the people of the household of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and calling upon them in times of hardship and supplicating to them, and being extremist in their affair, and lying, even innovating and fabricating complete fallacies regarding their affairs of controlling and the affairs of the universe and so on and so forth, and their closeness to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If we look at upon all of this, we will find that it is fabrication. And surely something even more severe is their claim regarding the Quran. They claim that the Quran is missing certain portions. Indeed, they will go so far as to say that the Quran is missing two-thirds. What is existent today is only one-third of the Qur'an. And they will say that the only true Qur'an is the one that is in the hands of the people of the household of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They call it the version of Fatima. The version of Fatima. This Mus'haf that is existent with Fatima will only come in the time of Al-Mahdi. However, what is available today is only one-third of the Qur'an. And with the consensus of the people of Islam, this is surely kufr. Clear kufr. For surely the people of Islam have all agreed upon the fact that whoever claims the Quran is missing any portion or has anything added in it, even if a single word, he has committed kufr and disbelieved in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. From their authors who have written and authored in this affair is At-Tabrasi, who wrote a book called The Final Word on the fact that the word of the Lord of all creation has been tampered with. So this is a proof against the Shia that this is their claim, this is their creed, that they will claim that the Book of Allah has been tampered with. And an example of what they claim, the verse in which Allah Azza wa Jal says, but Allah Azza wa Jal bears witness regarding that which He sent down to you, He has sent it down with His knowledge, and the angels bear witness. They say, herein are words that are missing. The missing words are regarding Ali. So the verse according to them reads like this, but rather Allah bears witness regarding what He revealed to you in the affair of Ali. He revealed it with His knowledge, and the angels bear witness. Another verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you messenger, deliver that which has been sent down to you from your Lord, and if you do not, then surely you have not delivered the message. They again say, regarding Ali. So the verse according to them should read, O you messenger, deliver that which has been sent down to you from your Lord regarding the affair of Ali, and if you do not, then surely you have not delivered the message. Another verse, they say, surely those who disbelieved and transgressed, Allah would not forgive them. They say this is missing the following words regarding the family of Muhammad. So the verse should read, surely those who have disbelieved and transgressed the rights and usurped the rights of the family of Muhammad, surely Allah would not forgive them. And all of this is kufr manifest and disbelief in Allah and His book and tampering with the deen of Islam. Fadl Shaykh.
يا أخي الكريم، الوقت أخذنا، فماذا ترى؟ يعني ما نستطيع نكمل يعني المحاضرة في هذه المرة. هل ترى أن مثلا
شيخنا نحن
نحب نجعل محاضرتين؟
نحب هذا شيخنا، نود هذا حتى ننفي الموضوع يعني حقه. أي نعم،
أي نعم، بارك الله فيك. إذا أمشي قليل ثم أختم. أي نعم، وإن شاء الله نكمل، نتفق على وقت ونكمل المحاضرة الثانية إن شاء الله.
جزاكم الله خير شيخ.
جميل، بارك الله فيك. طيب الآن أنا أكمل شيئا. نعم، ذكرنا أيها الإخوة من عقائد الرافضة الكفرية تأليهم لأهل البيت ودعائهم وشركهم ونسيانهم لله سبحانه وتعالى، وتعلقهم بالحسين في السراء والضراء، وتعلقهم بعلي وفاطمة. وشاهدنا بأم أعيننا عندما يعني يحجون ويزورون المدينة، رأينا كيف تعاملهم مع المسلمين، فإنهم إذا خرج الناس من المسجد النبوي دخل الرافضة، وإذا أراد الناس الدخول للصلاة خرج الرافضة من المسجد النبوي. رأينا أنهم يتجمعون نساء ورجالا بقرب حائط البقيع ويجلسون الساعات يقرؤون مناتكهم ويبكون ويولون ظهورهم لقبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، حيث يعني الشيطان لعب بهم، فبدل ما أحبوا أهل البيت لأنهم أهل بيت الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فالمفروض أن يبقى هو أكثر حبا، ولكنهم الآن أو من فترة طويلة يحبون فاطمة والحسين وعلي أكثر من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهذا ظاهر من حركاتهم ومن أفعالهم، فإنهم لا يكادون يذكرون الرسول عند الدعاء والاستغاثة، وإنما أكثر ما يذكرون الحسين. وأنتم لعلكم قد رأيتم ماذا يفعلون في مناسبة مقتل الحسين وفي الأربعينية بعد 40 يوما، وعندهم لكل إمام الأئمة 12 وقت يحتفلون عند ضريحه أو عند قبره، ويفعلون الشرك الأكبر والمنكرات الظاهرة، وأيضا عند الشيعة اعتقادات كفرية أخرى لا يتسع المجال الآن في هذه المحاضرة لذكرها، ولعلنا نحتاج أيها الإخوة إلى محاضرة أخرى لنكمل لكم بيان خطر هؤلاء الأعداء الذين أعتبرهم أكثر عداوة لأهل السنة وللإسلام من اليهود والنصارى، لأن اليهود والنصارى يريدون أن يأخذوا أرض المسلمين أو أن يأخذوا أموال المسلمين، ولكن الرافضة الإيرانيون ومن تبعهم من العرب والعجم أين عام وأكثرهم في القارة الهندية وفي آسيا، ويريدون أن ينشروا عقائدهم في جميع الأرض حتى ما فيها أمريكا وأفريقيا وأستراليا وأوروبا، فهؤلاء أشد عداوة لأنهم لا يريدون أن يبقى سنيا على وجه الأرض، لا يريدون أن يبقى سني يتنفس الأكسجين على الأرض. نعم، لا يكفيهم ماله ولا يكفيهم أرضه كما يريد اليهود والنصارى من المسلمين أرضهم أو مالهم، لا، هؤلاء يريدون أن يشربوا دماء أهل السنة، وليس لهم يعني عدو غير أهل السنة ينامون على عداوتهم ويستيقظون على عداوتهم، وأهل السنة في غفلة ورقاد، وأهل السنة في بعد عن معرفة خطر هؤلاء الأعداء. وإلى اللقاء في محاضرة قادمة نوضح لكم مزيدا من خطر هؤلاء الأعداء لكي تنتبهوا ولكي تعطوا من جهدكم ومن قراءاتكم لكتب الذين ردوا على الرافضة وبينوا ضلالهم من واقع كتبهم، وأن تهتموا بهذا الأمر، فإن خطر الرافضة شديد وخطرهم قادم، وأهل السنة في خطر كما رأيتم ما فعلوا بأهل السنة في العراق وما فعلوا بهم ويفعلون إلى الآن في العراق وفي سوريا وفي لبنان. وإلى اللقاء، وبالله التوفيق، وصلى الله على محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين.
الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He concluded the lecture saying that we have already mentioned some of the the disbeliefs and false creeds that they are upon, such as the deification of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the people of his household, and calling upon them in times of hardship and supplicating to them, which is the association of deities to be worshipped with besides Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and also the fact that they call upon al-Husayn radiallahu anhu in times of ease and in times of hardship. In fact, they call upon Ali and Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anhuma as well. And we have seen their affair when they visit to make the Hajj in Saudi or to visit Al-Madinah. And we've seen how they deal with the Muslimin. You will find that if the people emerge from the masjid, it is then that they enter the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if the people enter the masjid to attend the congregational salah, you will see them walking out from the masjid. And sometimes you will see them congregating around the walls of the graveyard known as Al-Baqi', in which the Sahaba are buried. And around these walls, they will sit for hours upon hours reciting whatever it is that they believe to be part of their deen and crying. And they will keep their backs to the grave of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And surely, a very strange affair that one is due to contemplate is that they call more frequently upon Al-Husayn, Ali and Fatima than they call upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If this is truly something that was born out of religion, wouldn't they love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam more than they love the people of his household? But rather, you will see in their actions and in their kufr as well the signs of loving Ali and Fatima and Al-Husayn more than they love the Messenger himself sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And very infrequently would they call upon him in their shirk. When they associate others to Allah, they will very infrequently associate the Messenger with Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is surely from that tricks of the shaitan that he has tricked them with. And perhaps you have seen how they react in the anniversary of the killing of Al-Husayn, and then the 40 days after that, and the different celebrations that they have at the killings of the events that they have delineated for each of their 12 imams, where near to his grave they will conduct a certain festival and so on and so forth, in which shirk, the worship of other than Allah, and open sinning is observed. Also, they have many other false creeds and disbelief in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that we don't have the time to cover in this particular lecture, and inshallah we will attempt to do so in a follow-up lecture. Their danger, I want to say, is a greater danger, and their enmity is more severe than the enmity of even the Jews and Christians to the people of Islam. For surely the Jews and the Christians, what they want from us is our land and our money, but those will settle for nothing less than the following. The Rafida and Iran and their followers from amongst the Arabs and the non-Arabs, especially the great numbers found in India and Asia, they want to spread their creed. They want to spread their belief in Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the people of his household, and the disbelief in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And their enmity is more severe than the enmity of the Jews and the Christians to the people of the Sunnah. And they are even trying to spread their beliefs in the West, in America and Europe and so on and so forth. And one of the things they want is that no one should remain upon the face of the earth from the people of the Sunnah. they will settle for nothing less than to ensure that each and every last one of us is no longer breathing. The Jew, the Christian, may want our monies, may want our lands and assets, and then he will settle for that. That is sufficient. But they will settle for nothing less, the Sheikh said, than to drink our blood. The Shia will settle for nothing less than to drink the blood of the people of the Sunnah. They sleep upon dreaming about their enmity to us. They wake up upon thinking about their enmity to us, and the people of the Sunnah are unaware, completely oblivious to the plotting and the scheming and the enmity of these people to the people of the Sunnah. And inshallah, to our next meeting, in which we will attempt to cover and highlight some of the dangers of these people against the people of the Sunnah, and we will direct you so that your efforts can be spent in reading the literature that was written by some of those who refuted them and showed their false creeds, and showed you exactly where in the books of the Shia their words incriminate them, and their danger is very severe and imminent, and it is coming upon us. And whenever they can find the chance to, they will try to eliminate and annihilate us, as it has happened at the hands of the Shia in Iraq recently, and continues to happen, as what is happening today in Syria, as what is happening today in Lebanon, and so on and so forth. And the Sheikh concluded here,